Brother Allen, don't feel too bad. You know, preachers are there in case you stumble, right? Amen. It's not usually in a physical sense, but that's true. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again. Thank you for the praise team, Lord, that led us in our worship in song. But Lord, now I pray that you will give us this time to let your Holy Spirit manifest amongst us, Lord, in our hearts and minds in any other way you seem necessary. Father, we give ourselves over fully to you at this time that we may learn your word. And Lord, I just ask that you will take my thoughts out of this and let your Holy Spirit speak for itself through your words. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like we mentioned earlier, we did celebrate Resurrection Sunday last week, and we had a good breakfast, and we had a good time, and we talked about the resurrection of the Lord. But you know, even during that time, after Jesus appeared to them in the upper room, and we talked about that a little bit, their lives continued on. And it's something that we know as human beings especially, that there are big events in our lives. And when I say big events, I don't necessarily mean good events, just major events in our lives. And our lives continue. You know, if we lose a loved one, the rest of us, our lives continue. If we lose a job, our lives continue. If we are suffering through a health crisis, our lives continue. Things go on. In fact, if we read our Bible, when Noah got out of the ark, God promised, and I was reminded of this week, that this earth, seed time, harvest, all these things will continue until he decides to return. So what do we do with this information? What do we do understanding that you know, we want Jesus to return? And brothers and sisters, we should want that more than anything. Even the Bible ends, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Because we know that when he comes, all of this mess, for lack of a better term, is going to be corrected. This sinful world is going to be cleansed. And our presence will be with the Lord forever and ever. But until that time, we've got to trust in his promises. Until that time, we've got to live our lives according to the faith that he has given us. So what I want us to do, I want us to turn to Acts chapter 1. And this is what I titled the end of the beginning. The beginning was Jesus being born. Of course, all the prophets and everything since the beginning of time, the creation of the earth, up to that point. And then when he ascended on high after the resurrection, I would call that the end of the beginning of what God had for us, for his church, for his people. And from that point forward, now is the rest of eternity. So let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. I'll be reading out of the King James today. Hear the word of the Lord. When they, that is the disciples, therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." You know, there's a lot there that we could talk about this morning, but I'm going to talk about a few things, but I've got to set up the picture. They had seen the resurrected Lord. He had ate with them. He had talked to them. He had told Thomas, "Come put your hand in my side and put your finger in this wound." He had done all these things, and he went around and was seen by many, many of the saints. Over 500 brethren, not counting the disciples. It tells us in one place in the Bible. They knew that the resurrection was real. He talked with them. I mean, he appeared out of nowhere. He did all kinds of things supernaturally and regular. So they understood it. So here they were. They did not know that they were going to the hill for Jesus to ascend into heaven. So they had the normal questions. They had walked with him for 3 years or more. And they had seen the miracles. They had seen him raise people from the dead. They had seen him restore sight to the blind. They had seen him feed the 5,000. And now they had saw him die on the cross. And now they saw him alive in their midst. So what was next? Remember when he asked Peter before his crucifixion, when they were at Caesarea Philippi, do you remember the question that he was asked? Whom do men say that I am? But then he asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter, good old redneck fisherman Peter, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, let's think about that second. The Christ. Not a Christ, because there's only one. If we understand that meaning, that means the anointed of God. Christos in the Greek, which is a translation of Mashiach, which is Messiah in the Hebrew. He is the Messiah. They confessed it. And we must confess that same thing, but that is a sermon for another time. So they knew that he was the Lord. They knew that he was the Son of God. They knew he was the Messiah that was promised to Israel. But he wasn't what they figured. Because they had desired a guy to come in on a white stallion and to defeat the Romans and to restore the kingdom. And now after the greatest miracle that anyone had ever imagined, the dead coming back to life, was it now time for him to fulfill their desires, their thoughts? And so they asked the question. They asked the question, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now here comes one admonition and two promises. And the first is an admonition. Brothers and sisters, we are not to know specifically the times and the seasons that God has put in his hand. We are not to know the time of our deaths. Why? Because then people would have a fake faith. They would live the way they wanted to. They would live like hellions and heathens upon earth. And then at the last moment, oh, I believe, they didn't believe. It's the same reason God did not allow folks to know where the grave of Moses was. Because if they did, what would human beings do? They would take and they would build a shrine and they would worship Moses instead of worshiping the Lord God. And if you don't believe me, what did they do with the serpent that they had on a bronze pole that Moses used to lift up and for people to look at and to be healed from the snake bites in the Old Testament? They actually made an idol out of that. And they stored it in the temple. And some people worshiped that instead of the God that gave it to them. So men, we have a problem because we want to know the times and seasons. We want to look smarter than everybody else. We want to say, hey, I have a secret. That's why so many of our secret societies, they have these initiation ceremonies where you're not supposed to tell what happens because we've got secrets we won't let out. Of course, all you got to do is go on YouTube and you can figure out everything. Goodness gracious. But it is not our time, it's not our purpose to know the times and seasons God has put in his hands. They wanted the kingdom to be restored. And the kingdom will be restored. There is a time when Jesus is coming back upon that horse. And he's going to have that name written on his thigh. King of kings and Lord of lords. And behind him will follow the armies of heaven. But not at that time. That's still in our future. You know, and if we're blessed, we're going to be behind him. You know, I was in the Navy, and some of y'all have been in the Air Force, but we're all going to be in the cavalry when that time comes, because we're going to be on those white chargers behind Christ coming to rule and reign upon the earth with him, for him. So he tells the disciples that it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now that's a promise too. The Father has put all of that in his power, in his control. So are we to trust the Father with his timing, or are we to try to do things on our own? Ask Abraham how that worked out. Ask David how that worked out. We have to trust what God's timing is. But I don't know what his timing is, and I get worried and I get scared. Of course you do. That's why you need him. You know, there are some of us in here today that might not be here next month. There's some of us in here, I can guarantee you, won't be here in 10 years. And it's the blink of an eye, the snap of a finger. Where are we going? What are we going to do? Well, if we're in Christ, we know the answer to this. But God, in his mercy, does not tell us. It's kind of like the old thing. And I know that some may have a problem with this, and I understand it because I have a problem with it in some degree. You know, well, God appoints some and he doesn't, but he doesn't tell us. What does he tell us to do? He tells us to go and preach the gospel to all nations, that whosoever may believe will be saved. And that's the gospel truth. But it's not in our power to know who will be and who won't be. We preach the gospel because it is in the hands of Almighty God to deliver mightily. So that is the admonition. But here comes the next promise. He says, it's not for your purpose to know the times of the seasons, but. You see, there are several words in the Bible that we need to understand. The old joke about when you see a therefore, you need to understand what it's there for. That's one of them. But's another one. Yet is another one. Thus is another one. Then is another one. These words highlight what we need to understand. And here is the first promise. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He's saying you're not to know the times and seasons, but God is going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when he does, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to start in Jerusalem and you're going to work out. Have you read the book of Acts? Where do they start? They start in Jerusalem. Then where do they go? They go to Judea. Then they go to Samaria. And then they go all over the Roman world at that time. Now, some people say, well, they never went into the other places. No, Thomas went into India. And missionaries that were saved there, of course, he got baked in an oven, but that's another story for another time. Not good things do not happen to all missionaries, okay? And we're going to go over that when we get into that in Sunday night. But the gospel went everywhere God intended it to go. In fact, one of the promises that we have is the gospel will be preached to all nations. Now, that word nations, ethnos, means all people of every race, tribe, and tongue before the end comes, before Christ returns. And there are people right now working their tails off to translate the gospel into languages that we couldn't even imagine so that everything would be ready. And it will happen. I believe that part will happen in our lifetimes. Because we've got thousands of people, not only in Baptist, but other Protestant denominations who are working to translate these Bibles so that everyone, every language at least, will be able to understand the gospel. Does that mean everybody will accept it? No, it does not. Only those whom believe. And because they believed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We understand later in the book of Acts where they were meet together at the Feast of Pentecost. The feast, some people call it the Feast of Weeks. And what happens is they gather together in Jerusalem, and they were gathered together in the upper room, and we read how they were praying together, which that's extremely important, brothers and sisters. We must pray not only individually, but we must pray together. And when that happened, a sound as a mighty rushing wind came in, and tongues of fire appeared before their head, and they did things that they never imagined they could do. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the first thing they did, they went out and they started preaching. At least Peter did, and the rest of them were telling, and everybody understood in their own language. Please, brothers and sisters, understand that when this happened at this particular time, this was not an unknown language. The people heard and they understood in their own language. It was a known language. Now, it was all different. But the miracle was in the fact that God was communicating His grace through His servants to everybody that would listen. Everybody that would listen. And they received power. You know, brothers and sisters, when I spoke a few minutes ago about it's not your purpose to know the season, how many remember a few years ago when they had this one gentleman who said he had figured everything out? He put up billboards saying the end is near, and many people, wasn't thousands, but it was in the hundreds, sold their properties, and they ran around in RVs, and they ran around telling people, oh, Jesus is coming on such and such a date. Now, if they had understood this fella, he had made a wrong prediction at least three times before this, and he's made two since, and he's gone on to his reward since then. But you see, the problem is when, or the good thing was when that happened, those that were under the influence of the truth, guided by the Holy Spirit, talked to many of these individuals and said, it is not the time or season to know everything that God has put in His power. But we are to live every moment as if it were. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Himself asked the question, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith upon the earth? If we have Holy Spirit-filled people who are being the witnesses to Jesus Christ, yes, there will be faith upon the earth. But I am truly worried with all the garbage that is out there. And you know what the worst kind of lie is? The worst kind of lie is when it has a nugget of truth in it. Because people will latch on to that nugget of truth and say, hey, the whole thing is good. Folks, you get a bottle of curdled milk, that first sip may taste halfway normal, but the deeper you get, the worse it gets. The deeper you hold on to a lie, the deeper you get away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God as it was given to us once and for all, you're getting into deep something, but something I can't say in church. You need to avoid that. You need to stick with the truth of the gospel. You need to stick with what God has given you. Even the Bible tells us, you don't add to it, you don't take away from it. You preach. And as witnesses to Jesus Christ, we move from our sphere of influence outward, from Jerusalem into all the earth. You know, we would start in Odessa, and we would preach the word in Odessa, and then we'd move out into the county, and from the county we'd move around into the season, and from the section of the state, and then we would move into the whole state, and then we'd move into the Midwest, and then we'd move in the whole country, and then we'd move into North America. It's an ever-expanding circle which we are privileged and honored to be able to share the truth that will save people for eternity, and not just fill their wallet for a season. Brothers and sisters, we believe because the Holy Spirit has made it able for us to believe. We believe because God has presented us the truth, and He gives us the choice to choose truth or choose a lie. Remember in the deserts when they were on two mountains, and one mountain was the blessings of God, and one mountain was the curses. And they had them read, this is the Old Testament, before they went into the Promised Land, and they had them read everything. And Moses said something to the effect that, I have put before you today life and death. Choose life that you may live. And brothers and sisters, who brings us life? And life more abundantly. Life above everything. It is the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, the same one that spoke to the disciples and says, but you're going to receive power. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, when we are infilled with the Holy Spirit, we have the same power, the same ability, the same wherewithal to go and do what God has called us to do. Now He gives us different talents and different abilities to do that, but we are all chosen to do that. We're all to share the gospel, starting in our area and moving out. So that was the first promise. And so they went along, and suddenly they came upon a hillside. They came upon a hillside, and Jesus was still talking. And it says, and they looked up as He went up. And when He had spoken these things which they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. That's verse 9. That's amazing to me. Do you remember when Jesus was in front of the Sanhedrin and He said, in the future you're going to see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God the Father? And in another gospel it says, coming in the clouds of glory. Well, that's exactly what these two men in white said, these angels, these messengers of God. They said, this same Jesus whom you've seen going up is going to come back in the like manner. Now, brothers and sisters, the Bible is very specific about where He's coming back. He's not coming back to Independence, Missouri. He's not coming back to Rome. He's not coming back to Mount Everest. He is coming back to the Mount of Olives. When he sets his foot down, the mountain's going to cleave in half. He's coming back to Jerusalem because that's where he's going to set up his thousand-year kingdom. If anybody tells you anything different, first of all, they're not believing what the Bible says. Second, they're believing in fairy tales and made-up stuff. And brothers and sisters, it's a danger to do that. Why? Because it said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus was taken up from you into heaven. He shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him going up." We are going to hear one day, we're going to hear that trumpet. Now, brothers and sisters, when we talk about a trumpet in this context, we're not talking about the thing you blow bugles with when you're in the army. We're not talking about the brass trumpet you see in the orchestra. We're talking about the trumpet that they used in the worship services, the shofars, the ram's horns. And one day we're going to hear that sound. In fact, I remember I had a cousin who was a Pentecostal pastor, and he was preaching on the trumpet, the end trumpet one time. And he had a guy sneak up in the back part of their church, their vestibule, as they used to call it. And right when he got, he jumped out into the lobby, and he took a ram's horn, and he went, "Woo!" like you see on the Ten Commandments, you know. And he said people started jumping and falling all over themselves, and some of them were having heart attacks right there because they thought the end had come. I'm not going to do that to you, okay? Don't think I ain't thought about it. Sometimes we need something to wake us up. But I'll tell you what, when that trumpet sounds, if you are here on earth, you are going to see in the eastern sky, because it says the whole earth will see this. We're going to see our Lord and Savior come back. And brothers and sisters, I long for that. Whether I go with Him first, or He comes back while I'm still here, it is my full assurance by the Holy Spirit that I will go and be with Him. And that is the ultimate purpose of a person's faith, is to be with the Lord Jesus. When you look up into heaven, we will either come with Him, that means we've already passed and we're with Him, or we'll meet Him in the air along with the bodies of those that are already with Him. You see, the resurrection is for all of us. You know, we talked about Miss Jeannie, and family, if you don't mind me saying this, and we'll say more of this during the remembrance memorial this afternoon. But that day when the dead in Christ shall rise, when God puts together back our bodies, whatever condition it may, whether you're cremated, whether you're at the bottom of the ocean, whether you've been in the ground for 150 to 2,000 years, our bodies are going to jump up and they're going to be reunited. And we're going to be with Jesus. And then those that are living will go and be with Him also. And we shall all be changed. What's the old joke? That's the sign that needs to be above the nursery. We shall not all pass, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Some of y'all may get that, some of you don't. But I remember seeing that when I was a wee lad in the nursery. And the world, here's the thing. The world does now, has then, and will in the future mock everything that we profess here today. And you know what? I don't want to say it's okay, but it's understandable because they have not Christ. They don't understand. And it is a miracle. It is a miracle, and some of you could testify this, for the Holy Spirit to cut through all the unbelief and all the fake ideologies and all the fake religions and all that to reveal the truth to a person, and they are saved once they believe. For it is with the mouth that one makes confession, and it is in the heart that one believeth. And when we do that, and when we really believe, folks, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because there's a lot of folks that fake belief. But when you are truly a child of God, the Bible says that nothing can take you out of His hand. And that nothing includes you, by the way. We believe the truth. We believe the truth that we do not know Father's timing. We believe the truth that we are infilled by the Holy Spirit when we believe, and we can be witness to Him wherever He puts us. And we believe that He is coming again to judge the living and the dead, no matter where you are. If you're in some outpost in the Antarctic, or you're up in Coos Bay, Oregon, it doesn't matter. He's going to come for you. Brothers and sisters, that's an amazing thing for us to understand and to live out our faith. We must stand firm as His people. Remember what we said a few weeks ago, to deny Jesus is to have Jesus deny you in front of the angels of heaven. Oh, that is a scary thought right there. Not any more scary than going up in front of the Lord. And He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. But Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we preach? Didn't we heal? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't I? And He said, out. I never knew you. Now, if you think about it in a technical sense, the Greek, the word is not new, it's approve. I never approved of what you did. This was never of me. This was all of you. You're goats. Now, I have been called a goat head on a few occasions. But I do not want to be a goat in that instance. Brothers and sisters, this is something we have to take serious. Why? Because our life continues. Our life goes on until that appointed time where either He returns and we go to be with Him, or He comes for us and we go be with Him individually. We must be prepared at all times to live out our faith, to be ready in that moment. And in doing that, as we look upward and we look to the sky. Now, we have not seen Jesus go up in a cloud. But we all know He's coming back in like manner. So as we stare up, we can hear the words of the angel given to us through the Holy Spirit as it recalls the remembrances in the Word of God. And I'm going to paraphrase for our time now. Ye men and women of Odessa, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Be ready, brothers and sisters. Live a life and walk in a manner worthy of your calling, the Bible tells us. Always, ever look upward and outward, or forward is a better term. See where God can use you. See what gifts and abilities He has given you. Be in prayer constantly. Does that mean I sit on my haunches and go, oh, Lord, bless this food. No, 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 Lord, I need $1 million. No, that does not mean that. What it means is have an open channel of communication with your Savior. It means listening. Prayer is as much listening as it is speaking. And when we pray, we are in, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the very throne room of God. It says that the smoke that arises from the altar in the throne room is the prayers of the saints. Your prayers ascend before God day and night with our high priest, Jesus of Nazareth Himself, the Son of God, intercedes for us day and night until that time that He returns. And at that time when He returns, we're not going to need to be Him intercede for us, because we're going to be with Him and there will be no more sin. So brothers and sisters, always remember these three things, what you want to remember today. First of all, don't get hung up on times and dates. It is not in our place to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put in His own power. It's nice to study. It's nice to understand, because even Jesus Himself said, you know when the time is near. Just like you know, you see a fig tree, you know summer's near because the buds come out. You can have a general idea, but we will never know the specifics. Because let's not forget, time to God is different than time to us. He created time. Therefore, He is outside of time. When you are outside of time, you see everything at once. I firmly believe that. He says He knows the end from the beginning, right? So He knows. What, when I got up this morning, He knows how I'd go to bed tonight. He knows what's going to happen 5 years from now for me. He knows everything about everything because He is outside of that. Don't get hung up on it. Try to learn as much as you can. Get ready for it. Prepare for it. Watch and pray, for you do not know the hour that your master is coming. Study it, but don't get hung up on it. Just live your life according to the Word of God. Second of all, understand that the Holy Spirit gives us the power. Power to do what? To be His witnesses. Are you His witness at home? Lord knows I fail in that. You know, I'd love to have a time every night where our family could get together and pray. Sometimes it happens, but a lot of times I'm just too doggone tired, I tell myself. And you get in the chair, you get in the bed, and you start to go off, and oh, and next thing you know, it's the next morning. Where did the time go? You have to literally find a time that's appropriate for you. There is no, well, He did it every morning. Yes, Jesus did it early in the morning, but that doesn't mean we have to, but it does mean we do it in the morning, but it does mean we need to do it. We need to communicate and pray with the Father, and we need to pray with each other. Brothers and sisters, one thing I want this church to understand, and I believe you are, one of the things when I taught this past week, I taught from experience because I believe this congregation is a praying congregation. Because I can feel the prayers for my family, and I can feel the prayers for others coming from most, if not all, of you. And I thank God for that. So it was easy to teach about leading a prayerful congregation. But at the same time, I know we can do better. I know that we can meet in small groups, and I know that, and many of you do. I tell you what, there's a group of ladies that meets every other week, and I'm not going to call out any names, but they go and they pray for this church, they pray for my family, they pray. It is a wonderful experience to see their heart. And I also know that you at your home, when you pray for others. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives you that power. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the power not only to pray, but to live out your faith, to go and do things, to love on others, to help others, and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. So that was the second thing. And the last thing, the truth of His return is part of our proclamation. When we are being witnesses to Jesus Christ wherever He sends us, part of what we proclaim is He's coming back. How useless it is to proclaim a dead Lord. Well, Paul said it best. If the resurrection was not true, we are the most people that should be pitied than anyone else. But you see, the resurrection is true. Jesus is returning. But He's returning on His timetable, not ours. You know, brothers and sisters, I've known people, And sometimes legitimately, and I'm sure you've known them too, where they were extremely ill and there was no hope medically for them, and they prayed that God would take them. And there's been a time when I had a patient that, well, they were burned really bad and there was no hope of the survival, and it was just a matter of time. And I prayed, Lord, do what You're going to do quickly. So there are times when those prayers are real and they're heartfelt, and I understand that. But there are other times when we pray, and even if we're suffering, we have a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of celebration, because what we're going through, we're not going through alone. And even if we do, we're going to meet Christ. And when He returns, He's going to set all things right. There's not going to be any more tears. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more loneliness. There's not going to be any sin. Can you imagine that? And brothers and sisters, all I've got to say to that is Maranatha. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for His mercy. So brothers and sisters, we don't know God's timing. He's going to give us the power to be His witnesses, and He's returning as part of the proclamation of the gospel. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I want to thank each one of you for listening today. And I want to tell you that God, some of you I can see in your faces, God has nudged you a little bit. God has opened up a truth to you. And as we give the invitation here in just a second, act on that nudge. Folks, you could be here another 40, 50 years. Yeah, some of you go, whoa, no, brother. But some of you, you know, it's possible that some of you won't be here in another 30 or 40 minutes. Not likely, but it's possible. Those of y'all that have been on fire and police and ambulances, we understand that, don't we? I had a young man one time, and I've told you this story before, that all he was going to do, he was 16 years old, he was going to jump on his brother's motorcycle and run it down the driveway. And when he turned around at the bottom of the driveway, a log truck come over the hill and hit him and killed him dead as a hammer right there. And he wanted to be a preacher. And he was active in the youth group. And his favorite song, favorite hymn, was Victory in Jesus. In fact, it was so favorite they put it on his tombstone. The whole stanza. You see, Jesus came for him in that moment. Jesus is coming again. Whether he's coming in the clouds or you're going to meet him, you're going to meet him one way or the other. If you are a believer, be excited about it. Be happy that you will be with the Lord. And you're going to be with those you love because they were with the Lord. And you're going to be able to do things, to go places, to speak to people you would never imagine you could do on your own. But you will because you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And why does God do that? Because He doesn't allow us to know everything that there is. And He tells us to do it and He expects us to obey it. And in that, brothers and sisters, we can again say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time. And I thank You for the ability to speak what You said to Your disciples and what Your messengers, Your angels said to the disciples. And Lord, we are to take that and we're to live it. We're to be ready. We're not to get hung up on things that we can only guess at, but we're to use the power that You have given us and we're to boldly proclaim You wherever You send us, and we are to wait faithfully and obediently on Your return. Lord, move among Your people, and in Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen. Praise team.